Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, let's take a few moments to think about one of the most well-known characters in the Old Testament, Samson. We can read about Samson in Judges, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Chapter 13 starts out with that familiar phrase, "Now the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And then we read about a man named Manoah, whose wife was barren with no children. Chapter 13, verse 2 continues. In those days, a man named Manoah, from the tribe of Dan, lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you've been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So, be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines." The son that would be born to Manoah and his wife was Samson. Samson had a special call from God, and he was to be under a Nazirite vow for his entire life. A Nazirite vow was a symbol of a life devoted to God and of a life separated from all sin. It was a symbol of a holy life. The idea of being consecrated under a Nazirite vow came from the vow described in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 6. The word Nazirite, generally speaking, refers to a person who has been separated from others and consecrated to God. The vow of a Nazirite involved at least three things: abstinence from wine, alcohol, and strong drink, refraining from cutting the hair off the head during the time of the vow, and avoidance from contact with the dead. Each person had the liberty to establish their own length of time for the Nazirite vow. Ordinarily, the Nazirite vow lasted only 30 and at the most 100 days. So, Samson was to be a Nazirite, set apart for God's service for his entire life. And Samson's parents made this vow to God for him. And Samson's mother was told that her son would begin the deliverance of Israel from Philistine oppression. Samson's life is a reflection of the life of the nation of Israel. Although Samson was specially called of God, he often used poor judgment and sinned terribly. But when he was determined to be set apart for God, he accomplished much. In a similar way, as long as the Israelites remained set apart for God, the nation thrived. But when they ignored God and went the way of the surrounding nations, they fell into terrible sin. Samson wasted much of his life. Samson was given enormous physical strength, but he wasted it. He wasted his call from God. As a God-called judge over the Israelites, Samson could have strengthened his nation. He could have returned his people to the worship of God. He could have wiped out the idolatrous Philistines. But Samson wasted his time and wasted his strength on trivial things. In chapter 16, Samson traveled to Gaza and met a harlot named Delilah. Delilah was not a worshiper of God, and she was filled with trickery and deceit. Delilah played a minor role in Samson's life in terms of the actual time that she spent with Samson, but she had a devastating influence on him. She influenced Samson to turn away from his special calling from God. Delilah was tempted and motivated by greed. The five rulers of the Philistines came to Delilah and promised to give her 1,100 pieces of silver each. That's 5,500 pieces of silver, if she could just discover the secret to Samson's unequaled strength. Delilah couldn't get the information from Samson at first, but she persisted. Samson was so intrigued by Delilah, so infatuated with her, that he became a very vulnerable target. Even with all of Samson's physical strength, he was no match for the cunning manipulation of Delilah. And eventually, he gave in to her and entrusted himself to this ungodly woman, and of course, she betrayed him. In chapter 16, we see that Delilah was a deceitful woman who had sweet words on her lips, but wickedness in her heart. She was calculating and very skilled at using flattery in her efforts to conquer Samson. One lesson that stands out is that we must be very careful in getting too closely involved with individuals who do not have a history of worshiping the God of the Bible. Samson was especially called to serve God with his whole life. Delilah had no true loyalty to God. Oh, she was smooth. She was calculating. She was flattering and quite attractive. But she was only loyal to herself and not God. When we meet someone, be it in a social gathering, a business setting, or in our personal life, at first it can be really difficult to honestly know what beliefs and attitudes lie deep down in that person's heart. One of the ways we can discern the attitudes of the heart is by seeking to truly understand where that person stands regarding their worship of the God of the Bible. Do they have a history of plainly trying to live in obedience to the Scriptures? Are they plainly trying to live a life that would be pleasing to God? Is that plainly evident as we get to know them? In our discernment, what do we see? If we, on the one hand, are trying to live a God-pleasing life, yet the person we meet is not on that same track, then we must be cautious, even if it's in a business deal, for example. Perhaps you're wondering why. Why would it make any difference in a business partnership, for example? Or why would it make any difference in a personal relationship? Well, differing attitudes in worship and devotion to God reflect different worldviews, and a person's personal worldview impacts every area of their life. A person's God-belittling or God-ignoring worldview will quite naturally come into conflict with the worldview of a person who is seeking to live for God. Delilah had no interest in the things of God, and that observation might have tipped Samson off. That observation might have tipped him off that she was going to bring trouble into his life. We have to be careful not to allow ourselves to be tricked, to be manipulated. Let's be patient and just observe things the way they actually are and then act accordingly. We can imagine Samson saying, "Well, yes, Delilah's views of God and my views of God are very different, but that's not a big deal. Maybe she'll come around to my way of thinking." We can imagine all sorts of thoughts like these going through the mind of Samson. Delilah was very attractive to Samson, very tempting to him, but she was not trustworthy. She was deceitful. Of course, Delilah didn't announce her deceit. It's not like she was saying, "Hey, Samson, I'm really deceitful. Do you want to hang out with me? Hey, Samson, I'm really deceitful and I'm a manipulator. I'm filled with greed. I have other allegiances and other alliances, and I'm really skilled at deception." No, Delilah didn't reveal all of that to Samson. She was very cunning and made herself to be very attractive to Samson. It seems that Samson could have done himself a huge favor by seeking to understand where Delilah stood in her relationship with God. If she had some history of being sincere, committed, and faithful in honoring God prior to her meeting Samson, then Samson would have been led in a certain direction. If, however, Samson had observed that a God-honoring, God-pleasing lifestyle was not part of this woman's history, not part of her daily lifestyle routine, then that would have tipped Samson off to the thought that there might be danger lurking down deep in Delilah's heart. This approach, my friend, is a way of using our faith as a tool for discerning between good and dangerous relationship choices. Let's think about Samson. Let's observe and consider the worship history of others before we get deeply committed to them. Let's give thought to differences in worldview, differences in core allegiances of the heart. Let's give some thought to these differences before we entrust ourselves to others. Father in heaven, today I pray for each person listening that your mercy, love, and grace would shower over them. Father, help each of us grow in our devotion and commitment to you. God, today I want to pray especially for our listeners in Canada. God, I pray that you would give continued spiritual strengthening to each person and that you would protect them from any spiritual or physical harm. God, thank you for loving all of us. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.